Hi, I'm Tammy Greenberg, Senior Vice President for Business Development at the REV. Welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Our latest podcast series comes to you from the 2023 ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, where the marketing and ad community come together with a laser focus on growth. The conference showcased insights, strategies, and campaigns that leading brands have implemented to drive growth by meeting and exceeding their consumers' needs. RAB had the opportunity to chat with many attendees about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues that they're most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. In episode number 13 of Radio on Main Street at the ANA Masters of Marketing, I had the opportunity to catch up with Esther Mariah Tejeda, Chief Marketing Officer for Anywhere Real Estate. Anywhere Real Estate is the home to many iconic real estate brands, including Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, Century 21, Coldwell Banker, Corcoran, ERA, and Sotheby's. Esther, it's so good to see you here at the ANA Masters of Marketing. How are you?
I am well, and it's great to see you too.
And I'm actually, I shouldn't say delighted, but Esther, for our listening audience, she used to work in the radio industry, and she just recently left, and now you are with Anywhere Real Estate.
Yes, that's
headquartered
right.
Headquartered in New York?
Headquartered in Madison, New Jersey.
Oh, Madison, New Jersey. That's great. Are you living in New Jersey?
I am. I have officially moved across the Hudson River.
Yeah, so am I. So we'll talk about that later.
Oh, wonderful.
So the theme of this conference of the ANA is Force for Growth, Force for Good. And we continue to hear about the ways in which brands are navigating what's going on in the world today, not just from an economic perspective, but the war in the Middle East and everything else, that it's just one thing after another, it seems like. So, budget cuts, advancing technology, AI, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's becoming a much more competitive market. Are you finding that in the real estate industry as well? And if you are, what strategies are in place at your organization to address this?
I mean, absolutely happening in real estate, and I think it's particularly acute in our industry right now. If you look at what's happening with interest rates and just the lack of inventory and housing for residential real estate. So there's a lot of pressures, both macro and micro, on the industry, on buyers and sellers, on agents and brokers, really coast to coast. I think one of the ways that we are thinking about this and that we are managing through it is identifying ways to truly super serve our agents and brokers, help them be more successful in their business, and at the same time, getting better at understanding the needs of buyers and sellers. So this is a thing we were going to tackle kind of regardless of the climate that we are in. Because the business of real estate is ripe for disruption, there's a lot that has changed around us with digital and technology and just consumer behaviors in general. And so what better time than now, when so many things continue to change, to really start asking those hard questions and figuring out how we level up our value proposition for, like I said, our agents, our brokers, and also our buyers and sellers, and integrate that experience more holistically than the industry has done in the past.
So when it comes to the housing market, it fluctuates so much.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage that? You know, how do you manage providing what you need to provide to your sellers when it's a down market versus when there's just no inventory available because it's booming?
Yeah, so I mean, part of the kind of blessing in this, in a way, is that everyone needs housing. Everyone needs a place to live. That will always be the case. The way that that looks changes, I think, generation by generation. We've moved into really nuclear family housing, and now we're seeing more intergenerational housing in terms of like a family living with the grandparents or extended family, et cetera. So just in general, the approach to how we think about housing and real estate is broader, and I think the definition is more expansive than it's been in the past, which means we're able to serve more buyers and sellers because we are able to look at things more widely than we have in the past. And I think with all of the pressures that we're talking about now that are happening in the market, we're going to see more and more of that as people get more creative about how they approach, you know, buying their first house or perhaps upgrading to a bigger house or downgrading to a smaller house or all of the different things that happen in housing throughout the course of any person's lifetime.
And let me ask you a question. You mentioned this when you were just answering that question, that, you know, digital things have really changed in your industry, and there's so many tools to go and shop for a house,
oh, yeah,
right, or sell a house online. Do you believe, and in your research and talking to consumers, do you believe that there is still a need for the human interaction?
Oh, 1,000%.
Because I can't even imagine buying a house today online.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's something that is deeply emotional about housing. I am of the belief that a lot of the housing decisions are actually based on emotion that we post-rationalize. Like, we fall in love with the house, and then we think about all the reasons why it makes sense afterwards.
Right.
And so the magic of, you know, walking into a home and feeling like this is it, or walking into a space and imagining your future family there, or imagining your retired life there, whatever that looks like for you, there's a magic and a special quality to that that is very difficult to recreate digitally. There is a role for digital and technology, though, in the process, right? There's a lot that we can take online to make the process of viewing homes, transacting, closing more seamless, more simple, easier on the buyer and the seller, faster in many ways.
Yeah.
But the human interaction piece of that, I think, will always remain, just because there's a heart situation going on here with housing that you just cannot replace with technology.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'm glad to hear that, actually. So how do your agents get their leads? Tell me a little bit about how it works. Like, how does your organization function? You know, how do agents in local markets?
So a lot of the value of being affiliated with a brand like a Sotheby's International or Corcoran, Coldwell Banker, Century 21, Better Homes and Gardens, and ERA, which are the brands in our portfolio, is the unmatched consumer relationship, right? And so the baked-in trust, recognition
of the brands.
Of the brands means a lot to the business of the individual agent, because they're coming in already with, you know, for lack of better words, the street cred.
Yep.
That they're affiliated with an iconic, historic, well-known, understood, trusted brand, any of the ones that I mentioned. And so a lot of the value that we bring to the table as Anywhere for our network of agents and brokers, in addition to, you know, products that we offer and services and solutions and programs, is at the core of it, like from a marketing perspective, it's the value of our brands and how that enables them to really interact with their buyers and sellers, gain their trust, grow their sphere of influence, and do lead generation in a way that is much more effective, because they're backed by a brand that people know and trust. And again, because housing is so emotionally driven and also tends to be among, if not the most biggest financial investment that most people will make in their lifetime, that trust is hugely, hugely important to drive the transaction from, you know, really from the beginning to the end. So we're very proud of that. And I think it's the reason that we have such a large and engaged network of agents and brokers in our sphere.
And how do you differentiate those various brands? So you own many, many, you know, real estate brands that are icons, you know, from Sotheby's to Coldwell Banker to et cetera. How do you differentiate that?
So that's a really interesting question, and that's certainly something we think about a lot, because our brands are very different.
Yeah.
They're very different in how they feel, what they stand for, the kind of consumer that they attract, and what their value proposition is, despite all of them having the same core tenet of, you know, trust and honesty and transparency. How that comes to life and what that means across each brand is is super different, just as it would be in any other kind of portfolio organization where there's multiple brands that are serving different customers. So to give you a quick example, Century 21, for example, is hugely popular in the Latino market. It's a brand that people know in that market. It's a brand that people have known for generations. Yep. And so there's an intrinsic affinity to it. And so there's you see that come to life in the way that the brand operates, right? Mm-hmm. Separately and differently, Better Homes and Gardens is a hugely popular brand for that community of people that also read the magazine.
Yep.
And they have tremendous love for the brand and all of the extensions of that brand, and they want to have a Better Homes and Garden home.
Yep.
Right? And so that's a really different profile. It's very much about the aesthetic of the home. There's a particular look, there's a particular feeling associated with Better Homes and Gardens homes. And it's fascinating to see that level of precision in the brands and the segmentation that comes out of that, and just how we are able to essentially super serve so many different constituents across the country because we have a brand for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't help but think about it from a media perspective.
Of course.
Because it's the segmentation is done for you.
Yeah.
You know, because these brands are so iconic, and you know, it makes your job probably a whole lot easier from a marketing perspective on who you're going after and the media that you choose and the messaging that mm-hmm. you send through to them. So talk to me a little bit about your process from a media perspective. Does each of your brands have its own distinct budgets and strategies and media decisions? Or are those media decisions made on the local level or for them nationally?
The answer is all of the above. So each of our brands have dedicated CMOs that are really living and breathing their brands and understand their consumers better than anybody you would ever imagine, and are in the field and in the business, and they know the brokers, they know the agents, and they're just there on the ground, not just the CMOs but also the brand presidents. So I think we believe in a lot of autonomy at the brand level to be able to bring those things to life and have that again, that precision, but also that closeness, that authenticity, that really authentic relationship with consumers that can really only happen at that hyper-local level. At the same time, like any other organization of this scale, we're looking at the ways that we can elevate our media to get the leverage of the scale of our business, right? And how do we super serve our entire cohort of consumers, regardless of their brand affinity? How can we elevate our brand offering? How can we kind of enhance and do more with what we have? And so that's a question from a marketing perspective that we're always asking ourselves, is there's always room to do more, do better. So
and do different.
Yeah, that's a perpetual state of being.
Right. So you came from the radio industry.
I did.
And you know a lot about radio and audio and where we've been and where we're headed. Talk to me a little bit about radio and audio's role, more generally speaking, within those media decisions. Because, you know, when you were talking, you know, specific to the brands, I think you said it was Century 21 that mm-hmm. Has a very loyal Hispanic following.
Mm-hmm.
You should be on Spanish radio, are you?
So we are in the middle of kind of reimagining what our media mix should look like, right? It's an interesting time at Anywhere. If you're familiar with us at all, we just rebranded, actually. We were Realogy up until March of 2022. So this is an organization that is in deep transformation and that is really taking a step back so we can take 5 steps forward.
Yep.
And think again more strategically and evolve our thinking to really meet consumers where they are today. A lot of where consumers are today is on digital platforms, which of course includes digital audio,
yep.
which I'm a huge fan of. What I love about audio as a medium is that there's that closeness that is just integral to that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
The theater of the mind, we've heard this for ages. I mean, I come from radio, how it is on broadcast, and then whether that is on a broadcast channel or whether that is on a streaming platform, the theater of the mind is the thing that is foundational and doesn't change. And so when you're having a conversation around housing, which is so personal, which is so emotional, which, you know, is inspirational or aspirational for a lot of consumers, getting at them through their heart is the critical piece of good marketing. And the way to get at people through their heart, I think for me, one of the ways is through audio, right? Like through that deep engagement that you'll find on podcast listening or through trusted hosts that you know and you listen to and you love and you trust and you believe in. And so that is the magic of audio media that I think is hard to replicate in other channels and categories. And it's something we're definitely thinking about because, again, that magical connection is what's super important.
Yeah, and you got to the word host as I was about to interject the host word.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only, you know, because your agents have that same connection with their...
They do.
With their consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you take the combination of, you know, the relationships that the hosts have with their listeners and the relationships that the agent has with their consumers and you put them together to talk to listeners, I think it would be a home run.
Well, it's fascinating because I've always said, and I, you know, like you said, I spent years in audio media. Hosts are the original influencers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like
absolutely.
That whole concept of influencing started with audio. And now we see it. Yeah, and now we see it in other channels, but that's really the core of it. And you're right, like our agents are trusted advisors and counselors. They're more than just salespeople. They really are guiding people through the process A to Z, and it's that same exact type of connection with the host.
Yeah, so I feel like that connection,
mm-hmm.
it works both ways. I would love to put a program together with you guys that brings the host and the agent together.
We have to talk about that.
We need to talk about it. Okay, I'm going to move on. So what do you think the biggest trend, the biggest change that's on the horizon in the real estate market or in the media market or in the economy, if you will, that you're most focused on in delivering for your consumers and for your brands?
So I think that there's change everywhere. I mean, we've been here at, we are at the ANA right now having this conversation.
Yeah.
There's so much around AI and what's going to happen with AI. We're talking about consumer insights. We've talked a lot about technology and disruption via technology. All of that is true. I think, though, that what we should all be focused on is maintaining our eye on the prize. And the eye on the prize is understanding our customers, consumers, whatever you call them, and delivering experiences to them that are in line with what their expectations are of us. And so whether that comes through AI-enabled tools or it comes through experiential products and services, or it comes through your product offering suite, whatever that is, it's still the same thing. We have to listen to our customer and we have to build against what they're asking us for in whatever form that is. And being adaptable as those wants, needs, and expectations change, continuing to stay ahead of that curve and being flexible in your operation and your thinking and in your strategy to continue to meet those needs well into the future. And that's never going to not be the case.
No, I don't think so either, and that was beautifully said. Okay, so to wrap it up, think about your business now,
mm-hmm.
and your historical business, right? So mm-hmm. when you were in the radio and audio industry,
mm-hmm.
and answer these two questions for me. First one is, but you'd repeat after me, radio matters for real estate, or radio matters for anywhere real estate, because?
I will say, radio matters for marketing because radio gives you the best reach and the ability to connect at an emotional level with your consumer.
Perfect. Radio works. Because
radio works because it is a implicitly trusted medium that is both personal and local and at the same time, high scale. It's the best of both worlds.
Awesome. And I can't wait to work with you to bring it all to life for your brands.
Very excited.
Across all of radio and audio's platforms.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you.
Real estate is a really important growth category for radio, and Esther reminds us how critically important it is for realtors to maintain their eye on the prize to generate success in our ever-changing world. That prize is understanding our consumers and collectively delivering experiences to them that are in line with their expectations. It's an important message for radio to heed as well as we deliver to our listeners on behalf of brands every single day.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.